The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Bucks podcast. It is an emergency podcast session. We had to call to order. We spoke with Matt Velasquez, Bucks beat reporter of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just about a day and a half ago. It hasn't been that long, but oh my goodness, have things changed. The Bucks doing some big-time trade deadline machinations, and we are here to break it down. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. Velasquez is on the other line. He's in Dallas. It's been a crazy day for him. Because just before he was about to hop on a plane, the Bucks traded for Nikolai Mirotic out of the New Orleans Pelicans. Most fans probably know him from the Chicago Bulls days. He was there for about 4 years and spent the last year with the Pelicans. Big trade with New Orleans. It wasn't Anthony Davis, but this is a crazy one, Matt. And I mean, it's kind of being hailed as a steal. They give up Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, we hardly knew ye, who was with the team for like a day, maybe less, and some draft picks. Off the top, is this the steal that it looks like? I mean, are you feeling cautiously would you instruct fans to have some caution when they look at it that way, or is this as good as it looks?
No, I think it's a steal. I think a lot of people expected it was going to take a first round pick, or at least that's what the Pelicans were supposedly asking for when it came to Mirotic and Bucks. And I mean, long and short of it is the trade ended up being Thon Maker goes to Detroit, Stanley Johnson goes from Detroit to New Orleans, Jason Smith goes from Milwaukee to New Orleans, and then the Bucks send 4 second-round picks to New Orleans for Nikola Mirotic. And 3 of those second-round picks didn't belong to them. One of them is a top 55 protected Denver Nuggets pick for this year. And then there is the 2020 and 2021 unprotected Wizards second-round picks, which the Bucks picked up over the course of this season. John Horst in the front office, they collectively, figured it out and made the right moves. Credit to John Horst for absorbing the contract of Jody Meeks from the Washington Wizards and getting the second-round pick, at least one of them. And then they bring in Jason Smith as part of their three-way trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And part of that trade involved getting another second-round pick and getting the protections knocked off of the other one. So you send 3 picks that weren't yours that you've been stockpiling for something, and then the Bucks sent their 2020 second-round pick as well. And then you suddenly get Nikola Mirotic, who, he's 6'10", he's a three-point shooter, he stretches the floor, he's averaging a career-high 16.7 points per game, 8.3 rebounds, both career highs. He's a 36% career three-point shooter, but he can get a lot hotter than that. I mean, last year in the playoffs, in 9 games, he made 43% of his threes and helped the Pelicans get to the second round. So the Bucks basically gave up two guys who weren't playing in Thon Maker and Jason Smith, and who I would assume, that based on the way that this all worked out, they didn't see a future for. And 4 second-round picks that they've been stockpiling for something. And, any second-round pick that you're going to get is likely not going to be as good as Nikola Mirotic is. And, they only have him for the rest of this season. He'll be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. But he's, somebody who could really help them come the playoff time, just in terms of adding more depth, another weapon, and just a ton more shooting around Giannis Antetokounmpo, which – that's always a good thing. So I think it's definitely a positive move, something that moves the needle for them in the Eastern Conference and should help them going forward.
Yeah, you sort of mentioned, Mirotic is a rental, quote-unquote, wouldn't be the type of guy, he is definitely the type of guy the Bucks like, a stretch four who chucks a lot of threes, shoots over 7 three-pointers a game, and, can make a fair amount of them, so he's definitely the type of guy they have that works in their system. It seems like he would be gone after this season. He's also had some injury troubles this year, even though he is putting up career numbers. He's missed a bunch of games lately. I think it's about 22 over the course of the season. So there is some concern there, but he's 27 years old. There's no reason to think that he's going to deteriorate from here or anything along those lines. I'm sure the Bucks were very mindful of his physical condition, and we're checking on that side of things as well. When would you compare him to Ersan Ilyasova? Is he kind of a better, not to disparage Ersan, is he a better version of Ersan or a guy who's maybe playing better than Ersan, or is that not quite a fair comparison?
No, I think it's a fair comparison. I think he's a better player than Ersan. I mean, they're similar in the sense that they're both a similar size, who can stretch the court, shoot the three. Ersan has the charges, which, I mean, no one else has the charges like Ersan does. And Mirotić is regarded as, you know, a little bit less on defense. Somebody might need to hide a little bit in the playoffs, but he's shooting the ball generally better. I mean, somebody who is more offensively capable than Ilyasova is. And you mentioned the injuries. He's missed the past seven games that the Pelicans played with a right calf strain, though you kind of got to take that with a grain of salt because they've been pretty open for the past couple weeks that he is someone who's been on the block. Right, and so, right. You know, part of that might be them saying, hey, we're going to sit you down for a little while we try and find a trade partner. He also had a lingering right ankle injury. He had an illness for a couple days that I guess at the time they said he lost like 6 pounds dealing with that illness over a couple days. But overall, I think you know, you trust the Bucks to do their due diligence. He'll go in, do a physical before he can play. Everyone involved in this trade needs to go through the mandatory physical with their new team before everyone can play. So once everyone has cleared their physicals and everyone has checked on the boxes, then all those guys will be eligible to play. So I don't know if Mirotić will be cleared in time to play against Dallas or play against Orlando on Friday and Saturday. That's something I'll absolutely be asking about, particularly shoot around tomorrow and trying to find out more about. But I think they're going to try and fast track that as much as they can and see what he's doing. And when you look at the injury, the Bucks don't have to rush to get him on the court. I mean, the guys they traded weren't playing, and they've been playing really well. So, you know, they're going to – whatever they have to do with Mirotić, they're going to make sure he's healthy first and foremost, and that way he can be there for the long run to help them down the stretch of the season and into the playoffs.
Let's rewind about 24 hours. Right after we got off the phone with each other, the Bucks said – well, this wasn't announced by the Bucks, and that's key, as we'll see. But it was reported that Thon Maker was on his way to Detroit in exchange for Stanley Johnson, and it seemed like that was a simple enough deal. As we've talked about, Thon Maker wanted a chance to play more, and it wasn't as if the Bucks were necessarily getting a superstar back. They were getting a bench guy, but it meant Thon Maker would be off the books for next season. It seemed like a pretty simple transaction. And you know, in Major League Baseball, when a deal is announced, I always bristle when fans say, well, maybe this must indicate they have more in the works. I always feel like that's very stupid because, quite honestly, if the teams had more in the works, they would announce it all at the same time. But you sniffed out that was in fact the case here because the deal wasn't made official. The Bucks played, the Bucks played at night. They had a 50-point first quarter, scored 148, looked amazing in beating the Washington Wizards at Pfizer Forum. Still no deal announced, and you thought maybe there was more to it. And then, sure enough, it's the Thon Maker Stanley Johnson acquisition is basically part of this deal. I mean, can you kind of? Why do you think that first part of the deal was out there? Was it something that got amended, or was this all part of the master plan from day one?
You know, I think that part of it was that the Mirotić piece, I don't think it was in place yet. I think the Bucks, you know, were hoping that they could make more out of it, but it got leaked out that was happening. I was able to confirm that, you know, those guys were changing teams, and then we kind of just waited for the official announcement. And then it didn't come. And then it still didn't come. And so we're watching the game, and I'm kind of on the lookout and trying to figure out what's happening. And it started to kind of hit me that I was like, you know what, I think, and I tweeted this at the time, I said maybe this would be a precursor to something else, because I just didn't know how Stanley Johnson really fit with them. It's okay, I guess, like, you know, he's versatile on the wing. You could throw him at a bunch of, you know, wings in the East and in the playoffs and all that, and he can help with your wing depth. He can't shoot. His offensive game is not great, but you know Bud loves defense, so maybe that's just what they're going to do, and they can get off his contract this summer and just kind of move on. It just seemed like a very quiet lateral move, and wasn't that big of a deal. But then when they didn't announce it, I just thought that there had to be more. There had to be something else to it, but I just didn't know what. And so we had to kind of just wait until all those things started to come together, and. You know, it makes sense that they'd be able to move on from him and add Jason Smith, somebody who, like, didn't really play the whole time he was around. But he had a $5.5 million salary, which, you know, that helps get the numbers closer for a potential trade. And that's kind of what they used it for. And they emptied the war chest, the stockpile of second round picks, and that was enough.
Yes, the Bucks may never draft again at this rate. But that aside, from the economic point of view, from the contracts point of view, does this do anything for the Bucks not having Thonmaker on the books next year? It obviously opens up more for the Bucks to presumably bring back these guys that are part of the core now, you know, namely Chris Middleton, Brook Lopez, and Eric Bledsoe, who could all be elsewhere next year, I guess, if everything goes wrong. Do you think that was part of this deal as well, making sure that there was a little bit more breathing room for next year so that the Bucks could conceivably bring these guys back?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think, you know, you also get the bird rights from Mirotić, so they could go over the cap to re-sign him too. If they wanted to find a way to bring all these guys back and bring the whole band back together, you'd have that opportunity. But it seemed pretty obvious from the way that Mike Budenholzer talked about Thonmaker on what was that, Wednesday against the Wizards. I'm losing track of days. But the way he talked about him, I asked, like, you know, Thon had his ups and downs. He had times when he contributed, was part of the rotation. And, you know, what goes into somebody kind of falling out of the rotation? And obviously the trade hadn't become official, so Bud couldn't directly talk about it. But he just said, oh, well, you know, Thon wasn't really in the rotation at the start of the year. And he kind of made an extra point to say that. He didn't have to say that. That wasn't the question. But he made a point to say Thon wasn't in the rotation at the start of the year. And other guys were ahead of him. John Henson was playing ahead of him. Brook Lopez was playing ahead of him. He got some minutes here and there while DJ was hurt. Then DJ comes back and Thon might not be playing as much, but then, oh, look, Ersan Ilyasova's hurt. And so Thon still had opportunities come to play. John Henson was gone via trade, and, you know, he had opportunities, but not a ton of them. He's only averaging 11 minutes per game. And so, you know, it became clear that, you know, Mike Budenholzer wasn't playing him a ton, but didn't see him as kind of one of the main rotational guys in the team, one of those main rotational pieces. And, you know, it's possible that, you know, obviously Bud and John Horst talk all the time. They're in very close concert with each other in terms of team building. And so they seemed that they had made their decision. They had a bunch of front court guys, you know, Ersan, DJ, Christian Wood, Brook Lopez. Giannis can obviously play the five. He plays the four. He plays whatever position he wants because he's Giannis. You know, and then you have all those guys and you just don't have enough room for them. And so, you know, Thon was the odd man out. And so that's why I kind of had the gut feeling going into the trade deadline that he was going to get moved. And you know, kind of here we are.
You know, 1-13, this Bucks roster is certainly as deep as it's maybe ever been, probably has ever been. And it's just so loaded. And I guess I'm thinking about this, where are these minutes going to come from for Mirotić? Like, obviously you could say Ersan might see the floor less, but what are some of the roster dominoes that are going to fall to get Nikola Mirotić onto the court at this point?
I mean, he's going to take minutes from Ersan. He's going to take minutes from DJ Wilson. You know, in certain games he might take minutes from Brook Lopez. I mean, they didn't trade for him to have him sit. They're going to play him. Sure. He's going to be used. And so I think that's going to be what it is. And the question is, who does he displace and how soon? And that might be a matchup thing. If you need a game where you have more versatility, you need some more athleticism on the court, then maybe DJ Wilson is going to be in there along with Mirotić, or, you know, subbing in with that second unit. Or, you know, if there's certain games where they think that Ersan Ilyasova and his physical size and his defensive ability in terms of taking charges and all that is going to be useful, then, you know, maybe he'll get time. But I think that Mirotić, you know, he'll move in maybe ahead of both those guys, depending on the matchups, because I think that he can bring just so much on the offensive end, and just his height and his rebounding will be, you know, welcome additions.
You kind of noted, or at least somebody noted this on Twitter, that this, you know, may not be over yet, because you've got a roster opening now, and there's a number of players who are being waived because of trade deadline maneuverings, and some players who are, you know, pretty good players, but just didn't work financially, or for whatever reason, they're on the street now. Teams are rebuilding. The Bucks, being the best team in the NBA right now, are going to have their pick of the litter if they want to add a veteran for very cheap. And, you know, a couple guys with Wisconsin ties would be former Buck player Michael Beasley, a fan favorite, or at least a media favorite. And Wes Matthews, of course, the former Marquette standout, looks like he's going to be available. Most recently, the Mavericks before he got traded to the Knicks. Do you have any names in mind of guys that you think think the Bucks are going to go for, or if not names, the type of player that they're still going to want to, you know, that they would want for this, I guess, last roster spot?
You know, I think there's a bunch of interesting options. It really depends on what they want to do. Do they want to add a big, somebody with some physical size that could be a, you know, break glass in case of emergency center?
I love that expression. You know, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, but basically take on the Jason Smith role, or do you want to try and find someone who can add some shooting, some depth in the wing, or a backup point guard? At this point, the Bucks have a ton of depth. They have guys. You know, but if you can add somebody, with some skill, with some NBA experience, who can maybe help you during the playoffs, like then you see what you can do. Wes Matthews, he's expected to sign with the Pacers, so he'll be off the board. There's some interesting options. Robin Lopez is somebody who I guess the Warriors are showing some interest to. Wayne Ellington, three-point shooter, who's really good off the bench. Three-and-D type guy. He could be somebody who will have a lot of suitors if the Suns buy him out. Marquise Morris is supposed to get bought out. Carmelo Anthony, though I don't think there's any chance he's coming to Milwaukee.
That'd be amazing.
You mentioned Bees. Frank Kaminsky might get bought out. I don't know where the minutes for him would come, considering that, the Bucks have Wilson and Ilyasova and Mirotić and all those guys who do the same thing he does. Ben McLemore is supposed to get waived. He's only 25. Maybe, the Bucks could take a flyer on him. Greg Monroe, former Buck. He's expected to get waived by the Nets. He has some relationships in the locker room. There's some thought that maybe Pau Gasol might get bought out by the Spurs. And, he might not bring a lot or bring what he used to. But at the same time, he's a veteran. He's been through the playoffs and he's won the championship before. Maybe he can be kind of like one of those, bench veteran leader type guys. So there's a bunch of options. I don't know exactly which way the Bucks are going to go with it. They don't have any major glaring holes, or they don't have a spot where you say, oh, if they can just add this buyout guy, they're going to be so much better. But I'm interested to see what they do, because I don't expect them to leave that roster spot open. I think they'll try and get somebody and at least have the depth and the versatility and the options on the bench. But there's no rush. I mean, you don't have to immediately go out and, find somebody on the buyout market today. That's when it might be at its most robust. But, I just named off like 12, 15 guys. Like, they're not going to all sign immediately. You're going to have your pick. As long as you sign it before March 1st, they'll be eligible for the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see which direction the Bucks decide to go.
Man, that is a crazy list of names. And how wild would it be if, in a year where we thought Sam Decker was going to come to the Bucks for a second, Frank Kaminsky would wind up being the guy, the former Badgers star who led them to the Final Four in 2014 and 15, if he would be the guy to show up in Milwaukee. Although, like you said, that doesn't seem likely on the surface. But really interesting story to sort of follow over the next few days. You mentioned Pau Gasol briefly. Marc Gasol, his brother, is also on the move, going to Toronto in a move that kind of shores up, I mean, not necessarily the response to what the Bucks were doing, but it kind of feels that way. So that the Raptors get better. That's the other best team in the East, along with the Bucks. What else about the trade deadline intrigued you? We saw a lot of activity, just a ton. Maybe it's Jabari Parker on the move to Washington and kind of what has been sort of a tragic story. Not tragic, but just a disappointing fall for the former Bucks, number two overall draft pick. But there are a lot of other guys on the move too. I mean, pretty much there's so many names, big names that are going to be changing jerseys. What jumped out at you, and what do you think most impacts the Bucks and their competition?
I think it's interesting, the Marc Gasol trade. I had to kind of think about it a little bit, because some of the Raptors' best lineups have been not with Jonas Valanciunas on the floor playing center, but with Pascal Siakam at center. Those units are really athletic and versatile and switch a lot, and you have Kawhi and OG Anunoby and Siakam and Lowry, and you just have a lot of guys out there who can really muck things up on defense, and they can score from all over the court. And obviously, Marc Gasol is a former defensive player of the year. He's 34 years old. He's a big, solid physical presence who can shoot the three, who can work inside. you know, it'll be fun to see him playing at the highest level after some down years in Memphis and some injuries and all that. But I think that move, you know, I think that's kind of the Raptors looking forward and seeing that they could be on a crash course with the Philadelphia Sixers in the seventh, in the second round. You know, the Bucks finished with the one, Raptors two, Sixers three. You know, they're going to need some a big body to be able to go up against Joel Embiid for four, five, six, seven games. So, you know, that could be what they're going for. Just trying to bring in just an uber talented guy like Gasol to try and kind of shore them up a little bit. You know, and we'll see what they can do with that. You know, Boston didn't do really anything at the trade deadline. They did open up a roster spot, I believe, by trading Jabari Bird just to the Hawks, just to kind of clear the spot. But they're obviously waiting for the possibility of trading for Anthony Davis over the summer. So, I mean, that could be a positive for them over the summer. But right now they haven't changed all that much. And then the Sixers made the big splash by bringing in Tobias Harris. They've got a really formidable starting five. I'm not sure about their depth. We'll see what they can do on the buyout market in terms of adding guys to their second unit and having just a little bit more than that first five. But that first five, you know, is a pretty strong group with Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and J.J. Redick. So, you know, the top four in the East, as we've known all season, is a really tough bunch of teams, and they're going to be really fun. All four of them, as you would expect, get to the second round of the playoffs. There's going to be some wars in the Eastern Conference, which should be fun for all of us.
There have been a couple non-Mirotić developments since we last talked, and while we're here, we might as well just hit on them. One of them happened after the Mirotić trade, and that's the All-Star Draft, which aired on Thursday night on TNT. Giannis, he picked his starters, went with Steph Curry like he said he would, wound up with Joel Embiid. He traded for Russell Westbrook after all the deals were in. He also did draft Chris Middleton as he said he would. Westbrook and Embiid, they had a little beef going. We'll see if Giannis can play peacemaker there. LeBron drafted Kyrie and Anthony Davis, of course. What, I mean, obviously this was just sort of a fun event that, you know, lighthearted and all that. Anything that jumped out at you that you particularly enjoyed about that?
I mean, the big thing that I kept seeing people talking about, and I wasn't able to watch it live. I was landing in Dallas and grabbing my bag and getting an Uber, and it was crazy. But you know, LeBron, five of his first six picks were guys who are potential free agents this summer. So
I love it.
Everybody was talking about how he was potentially, like, basically just you know, trying to, you know, do some business over All-Star Weekend. He drafted Anthony Davis, and Giannis, you know, said, "Oh, isn't that tampering?" Which everyone got a kick out of. It was one of the highlights of the night, as far as I can tell.
LeBron said, "There's no tampering during All-Star Weekend," which could not be more true. I mean, it's like the annual gathering of stars to try to convince people to play for their team. It's always been like that.
Oh yeah, and you know, Giannis, you know, he's getting some guff a little bit on social media for people saying that he didn't draft very well. That, you
really?
Know, that, oh, yeah, that he wasn't a very good GM. But, you know, he had a plan, and his plan was to take the guys that you mentioned, to take a bunch of the young, hungry, like, first-time All-Stars and just hope for a team that's going to, like, play really hard. Because, you know, the All-Star game's the All-Star game. They don't always play hard. I mean, last year was great, and the teams played pretty hard, and it was close to the end, and, you know, it worked out pretty nicely. But not everybody plays hard in the All-Star game. So he's trying to get guys who are going to play hard, and if they play hard, maybe that'll make the difference.
The other thing that happened since we last chatted was the Bucks putting up 50 points on the poor Washington Wizards. It's been a rough year for the Wiz. And actually, Washington then, of course, had a 42-point third quarter, made things a little bit interesting in the middle part of that game. But the Bucks pull away. They throw up 148. They've won. I've lost track. Is this five in a row? Six in a row?
That's fine.
Five in a row. I can't keep track. All these Wisconsin-based basketball teams on these winning streaks. They run together, you understand. But the Bucks continue to be the best record. Continue to have the best record in the NBA. What were you thinking as you're sitting there at Pfizer Forum watching the Bucks drop 50? Because I mean, honestly, the thing that runs throughout my head is, oh, that's a Golden State Warriors performance. The Bucks are capable of being as good as the Golden State Warriors, and they've shown it all year. And this was just the best example. What are you thinking as you're watching that virtuoso first quarter?
You know, I honestly, I was watching the game, and I was like, well, this is an All-Star game, except one team is the Wizards. Like,
yeah, it's like the Washington Generals and the Globetrotters, man.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was no defense. I mean, the Bucks looked like they just like weren't taking the Wizards seriously. You know, like they're kind of playing around, messing around. They were being a little bit more aggressive on defense and kind of getting themselves out of position and trying a bunch of things, which you can tell Mike Budenholzer wasn't thrilled with. But every few chances they took, they'd come up with a steal and an easy dunk at the other end, or you know, an easy layup or something like that. And so he kind of like kept his arms folded and his lips pursed and like let it go. But the whole night he just kept saying like, "You guys gonna play some defense at some point?" Like he kept wanting to play defense. You know, he's never gonna be happy with them giving up 129 points in the game. But when you score 148, like okay. Like you got the win, you can't complain too much, but it was just crazy. I mean, they were playing at an elite level, shot making at an elite level. Giannis was obviously fantastic. Eric Bledsoe took over for a stretch in the fourth quarter after the Wizards got it within seven, and boom, out of nowhere, like here comes Eric Bledsoe doing everything, and the Bucks are up by 20 just a couple minutes later. So, you know, it was a great performance against a not very good team that was depleted by injuries and trades. And, yeah, I think the people at Pfizer Forum had a fun time watching it. So that's really what it comes down to.
The Bucks will play the Dallas Mavericks on the road tomorrow. That's, well, actually, as you're listening to this, that would be tonight, Friday night. And then they return Saturday for a battle with the Magic at Pfizer Forum. It's a busy stretch here. Monday they're in Chicago. Wednesday they're in Indiana to play the injury-riddled Pacers. And then that is your All-Star break. So a lot of fun stuff. After that, we will talk about those games later. Mirotić, what you thinking? Probably not for Dallas. Maybe by Saturday for Orlando. Is that possible? Or is that going to be just too quick a turnaround?
That'd be my guess. If I had to guess what the situation would be, I'd probably say he doesn't play against the Mavs. And then, you know, provided that he's healthy and everyone passes the physicals, that he should be able to play Saturday against the Magic. But we'll see. You never know.
Should be a pretty good atmosphere as Bucks fans starting to taste the possibilities of where this team can go. Certainly a lot of people think in Eastern Conference Finals and beyond at this point. Maybe even the big prize at the end. It's looking more and more tangible for the Bucks. Thanks for listening to this emergency podcast. Thanks, Matt Velasquez, joining us here. Any last thoughts, Matt?
No, I'm just ready to eat some dinner and not have to worry about guys getting traded in the middle of the night.
I know it's nice that the trade deadline has finally gone. So although somebody big could be signing as we're speaking here, that's what happened with the last podcast. We had a Thon Maker trade within hours of minutes of releasing it to the wild. So hopefully that's not what happens here. I guess you'll just have to subscribe to the Milwaukee Bucks Journal Sentinel podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify and Stitcher. You can reach me, again, J.R. Radcliffe, on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. That's like you think it'd be spelled with an E on the end. Find Matt Velasquez on Twitter as well. His last name, V-E-L-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will chat with you again real soon.